look up to the front here, please? Our beautiful sister in the Lord, Linda, is going to move up north to go be with her family. And while we'll be sad that she's not going to be here with us, I'm very excited for her to go be with her family. I mean, that's just kind of exciting, you know? And she's going to be in a beautiful area. Is it? It's North Carolina? South Carolina? Well, either Carolina's great, you know? But anyway, so today she asked for some Chris Tomlin songs, and now my brain is
frying.
And
then,
who was the girl that you wanted to do? Laura Daigle. Yes. So we are going to do a Laura Daigle song as well. So anyway, so right now, let's just take the time just to just do a little prayer for Linda. I know maybe afterwards everyone will probably, you know, want to come up whenever Dan gives her cue. Just pray for her, you know, venture moving forward. But Linda, we love you. So, Father, I do. I thank you for just how amazing Linda's been in the time that she's been with our family, Father. She has just been so faithful to serve and to help, and I just love it. I just love her character, Father. She is just an amazing person, and I pray, Lord, that you just completely bless her and her family. I pray, Father, that as she goes and she can minister to her family and just share your light, Father, and we just 100% just bless her, Father. Amen. Depths of our heart, and you just still love us, Father. I think of it as just like when I'm looking at my kids, Lord, and when I sometimes can see mischief in their eyes. And I know they might be little stinkers. You can't help but love them. And what you want to do is you want to correct them and you want to direct them. But you still love them, Father, just like you love us. We're your little children. You see what's in our heart, Father. I pray, Lord, that you help us have a heart change, Father. I hope that we can understand what that grace is, Lord. It's not the grace to do wrong, but it's the grace to make a choice and to be forgiven when we make mistakes. Some of us have friends that are searching, Lord God, and they want to know you, but there's so many things that they can't let go of. Sometimes, Father, we have friends that want to see the dew in the morning just to know that you're there. Father, you do reveal yourself in so many different ways. And Lord, I just pray for all of our friends, Lord, that we know that are just right there, almost completely there for you, with you. Father, we pray that you meet them where they are, Father. We pray that you speak to their heart. Lord, even though we know that you reveal yourself in everything, Father, they might need a little extra more too, Father. So we do pray, Father, that you meet them there.
All the lands and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will be careful to observe my ordinances. And you will live in the land that I gave to your forefathers, so that you will be my people, and I will be your God.
You know, we were singing about being a good, good father. I think as parents, I think we try so hard to kind of shelter our kids and, you know, catch them every single time they fall. And, you know, the Lord's there to protect us and to help us, but sometimes He lets us just make mistakes too, especially when we're very strong-willed. He says, okay, if that's what you want, do it. You're not going to be happy, but hurry up and come back to me after you make that mistake. And He's the good Father. And because He does that, you know, we can grow deeper in Him. I do pray that we get to that point where we don't want to make mistakes, but He's there for us even if we do. So I praise you for that.
Warrior, king of the fight.
Father, even as Linda's making this decision, Father, to go be with her family, we trust, Lord God, that this is just going to be a road of just goodness for her, Lord. Pray for safety, Father, on her journey. And we just pray for her to quickly be able to settle. And, Lord, we pray just a blessing on that home, Lord. We pray, Father, as we're learning today and as we're listening to your word, Father, that we will grow deeper, Father. We'll learn how to trust you more. Father, help us to be a blank slate today, Father, even if we've walked with you for so many years, Lord. Father, help us to learn something new today. Lord, help us not to think so highly of ourselves that we don't think we need to learn anything else, Lord. Help us to have a soft heart and open ears, Lord, and to learn like children learn, Lord.
Feedback.
Yeah, Helen, where that's coming from? Wireless. I mean the handheld.
So many amazing things happening. People are telling me testimonies of how the Lord is working in their life and in their hearts and in their kids and in their marriage. And then on the other side of the same coin, there's other folks here in the same body that are going through such hardships and devastation. And so we're just gonna take a minute and we're just gonna pray. And so, Lord, I just want to say thank you. Lord, would you just blanket everyone in here in your comfort, Lord God. And if they're doing well right now, and this is a time of just pouring out a blessing and your conviction, and you're doing things, Lord, and they're wanting to honor you, and you're just showing them stuff, Lord, I just rejoice in that, Lord. I thank you for that, Lord God. And I ask you to bless them. And if this is a time of real struggle, Lord, I just think of my sister and her family, and just my sister in the Lord, just losing her husband, Lord. I just ask you to bless her and her family, Lord, in a mighty, mighty way, Lord. Yet she's here to learn of you and to seek you here today. Would you just bless her? Would you bless her family, Lord God? Lord, I pray for, Lord, I'm just thinking of Connie's friend, Lord God, whose daughter has disappeared, Lord, and strong Christian family, and she's just completely disappeared, and now it's been a while, and they have no idea where she's at. Doesn't look like a runaway. Lord, we just pray in Jesus' name, Lord, if she's been manipulated or whatever, Lord, we want to hope the best, Lord, but we also want to pray for her protection right where she's at, Lord God. If she's been cajoled into something or manipulated by someone or some people, we ask in Jesus' name that you would reach down through that muck and mire and rip her out of that environment, Lord God. Lord, and no matter what, we pray that you are right there with her, Lord, in the midst of that storm, Lord God. And if it's just a decision that she's made and it's a bad one, Lord, we pray just like that prodigal child, Lord, that would just come back, Lord God. And so, Lord, we just pray for those right now who are hurting, that you would minister to them in the deepest parts of their heart. You are a supernatural God. Would you remind them of who you are, Lord God? And that you say, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. And again, for those who are doing well and you're doing things, Lord, I thank you for that too, Lord God. We ask your blessing on this body, even as we go through the rest of this service, that you would teach us by the power of your Holy Spirit, that your word, Lord, would, we pray, we know, will not return void, but accomplish the purposes you set out for. So, Lord, we want to be open vessels to receive anything your Holy Spirit has to teach us. So, please, speak to us and speak through us in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Okay, well, we have a few things to go over and just some announcements and things. And then we'll get right to the Word. And so, Chris, would you mind handing out some Bibles? Thanks. If you need a Bible, please raise your hand. Chris will deliver one to you. And give me a second. We also have a bunch of free Panera bread, so if you need any loaves of bread back in the back, not just the desserts that are back here. Yes, I have a sweet tooth. But we've got loaves of bread and French bread and all sorts of stuff back there. A whole bag full of it. It's free. It's just from last night. So feel free to grab it in Jesus' name. It's a gift. There's no cost in it to you. We don't take up any tithes and offerings here, but we freely receive them in a little bird box back in the back. Whatever you give in the name of the Lord. Just drop it back there. We're happy to receive those tithes and offerings. Also, if anyone's interested in or feeling led, I should say, not even interested, feeling led by the Lord to start a ministry, you know, would you come talk? Somebody was talking to me this week about, hey, what if we did a church history class? And so I was like, that's a great idea. Hey, what if we do a new believers class? Fantastic idea. I think that's wonderful. Those are the type of things that if God's putting that in your heart, come see me. Because honestly, whether it's a class or one-on-one, we need your help. There's lots of people in here that need more discipleship. And so we need your help. So come to us. And I'm excited about those things. So just let us know. The QuickBooks training class, I don't know that we still have a date on that yet. It's the day of the hurricane, so we're waiting on that. Some free stuff for you. October 3rd, Dr. David Jeremiah at the USF Sundome. You can get the tickets at thejoyfm.com if you'd like to see him. October 4th is the Matthew West here at the Bradenton Convention Center. Tickets are about $25. I think Chris Tomlin tour is sold out.
It is.
Yeah, I'll just stop there. And no, Lord's telling me just to move on. Okay, so if you'd like to join us for prayer here Sunday mornings, this is the hardest thing for me to get to because I'm still kind of wrapping up the teachings, and I try so hard to get here for this prayer time, and it's killing me when I can't do it. But we meet here at about 9:30 to pray, and I would urge you to just come out and to pray and be a part of that that prayer meeting here every Sunday morning. Also, we've got a men's purity study, men's Bible study Monday night from 6:30 to 8 o'clock. And you can see Gary for details on that. That's Monday night. Hey, I'm missing a slide. Oh, there we go. Okay. We also have the men's Bible study where we're going through the book of 2 Samuel, a character study on the life of David. Gary, anything you would like to say on that?
Yeah, actually, I think the Lord has something special for the guys this Tuesday.
Okay.
And I got a little barbecue.
Ooh. Okay, not saying I'm the Lord is the most important thing. You say you're making barbecue too. I'm just saying I'm a guy, it's an added bonus. Guys, if you haven't come out to that, I mean, it's a really great time, and I just encourage you. Also, Wednesday, youth group is meeting here. I just want to say thank you to all the youth group and the adults who came out and worked so hard in the body every single week. I'm still sore. But thank you for helping Laura and Jim and all the this last week. So much work, scrap metal and trees and chainsaws, and it's amazing. If anybody else needs help and you haven't, you still have that all in your property and you still need help, would you just see myself or see Josh and Amanda Panda? We'd be happy to come out and help for the next 4 weeks or so, barring anybody needing help, though. We're going to be doing a Bible study for the next 4 or 5 weeks on suicide at the youth group here. And so that's going to be Wednesday, 6:30 to 8:30. And if you're a young person, if you're, you know that either sometimes yourself or you'll know a friend or a fellow student that is struggling with thoughts of suicide, Okay, so this would be an amazing opportunity to see what God has to say about it, so that you could help minister either to yourself or minister to them. And so I would urge you to come out Wednesday for the next month, okay, to come out in Jesus' name and to listen to what the Lord has to say for this Bible study for the next 4 weeks on suicide. Okay, and then, if that weren't enough Bible studies, our Thursday night barbecue and Bible study, we are going to be in 1 Kings this week, right, Uncle Tom?
Yes.
Hosea was located. And please continue to pray for Shepherd's Heart Christian School. Okay, I think that's it. Continue to pray for our newly baptized folks. We're going to have another baptism here. Somebody else Thursday night just said, I want to get baptized. They said, that's awesome. And so we're going to have another baptism. I know we just did one, but we've got a few people that want to get baptized. And so I'm not sure if we're going to do that in pool or beach. Either way, whatever they prefer. But we're going to do it, and we'll let you know more about that next week. All right, since... Okay, the glad segment is that that's okay. You did the right thing. Aim study did the amazing right thing. So I'm not going to go into that. But for those of you who came in late, our lovely Linda is leaving. And she is amazing. And she's... How long have you been saved now? 5, 6 years? It's been incredible. I remember when she first got saved, she would just come in. I remember her just coming into church. The first thing she would be like, I just want a hug! Okay! That was our relationship right there. Hug, hello. And just, she has developed into such an amazing servant of the Lord. And so it's sad in the fact that you're leaving us. So we're not going to forgive you. No, I'm just kidding. But we're glad in the fact that you're going to where you feel the Lord is leading up in South Carolina. I selfishly hope that you'll be back eventually. But we pray God's blessing on you, and I know that was already done.
Unless once we came back.
I know. So I'm just saying. So, yes, Ma.
We need to pray as a body for her to find another church.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
She doesn't know of one up there, and... She feels it's very important that she find the right church.
Linda said something that's a good... you know what? We'll do that right now. Linda said something really super special today. She's like, that's my biggest struggle. It's going to try to find its church. And so, man, Linda has just been an amazing servant. And so that's an opportunity for others of you to step up and help, because we need help. And so we just pray right now that Linda, God, you just... bless you and lead you to just the right church body with welcoming, loving people, real people who want to know you and love you, Lord Jesus. We ask that you do that and take good care of her, in Jesus Christ. And we're also glad because Carrie, who was somewhere in here, is also back with us. And we're all very happy.
Yay!
Sad, glad moment. All right, let's see what we get. Okay, so we are in the book of Colossians. And again, still don't know what to say. The title should be Colossians Still Standing, The Substance, Supremacy, and Sufficiency of Christ. Or my second title, Jesus Plus Nothing Equals Everything. So, if somebody, while I'm turning there, you grab the microphone. So, do you have the mic?
It's actually dead. We'll have to talk real loud.
Okay, all right. It's dead.
Experiencing
technical difficulties, so please stand by. All right, well, then we'll just go on. We'll skip a lot of stuff. And we are in Colossae, modern day Turkey. There's a little triad of the cities that were there, Laodicea, Hierapolis, and Colossae. We're going to skip all that stuff. Skip to my darling. Last week we talked about... how important it is to know who Jesus is. And just like last week we were talking about in the Church of Colossae, how there was lots of people trying to make it Jesus an addition to what they do, or to mix Jesus with something else, or to make him into less than he is. Kind of like what people are doing today. You know, Jesus, if you notice, Jesus is okay as long as he's not first in your life. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, if you just want to go to church...
Ah, that's good for you. Hey, glad it works for you. Hey, hey, if you just want to mention GC in a curse word, oh, I got no problem with that. But if you want to live for Jesus Christ, you want to make him preeminent in your life, well, then all of a sudden, we got problems. Isn't that true?
Yep.
So just like today, people are trying to dumb down Jesus and make him less than who he is. He's a good person. He's a good teacher. He's a good this. No. He's my homeboy. He's my friend. We talked about this last week. Jesus is my friend, right? He says, I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. For everything I've learned from the Father, I have made known to you. Yes, he's a friend that sticks close to my brother, but he is also, it says in the preceding verse, in John 15:14, you're my friend if you do what I command. He is not only your friend, he is also the king of the universe. And so I want everyone, I want us to understand who Jesus is. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the creator of all things. As we read this, as we read last week, how important it is to have that right foundation, that understanding of who Jesus is through his word. And we talked about this level, okay? And how this level was a cheap dollar store level, and it's not level. And that's, imagine if we were building things off the wrong image of who Jesus was, off the wrong understanding of who he is in our life. Imagine if we're doing that. Now, it's just a little bit off this level, but over time, right, brother, as you were saying, down the road, you are going to be way off, and the foundations are not going to be secure, and that building is going to come down with a crash. Amen?
Amen.
That's why it's important to know who Jesus is and understand who he is. I think we spent an hour in a couple of verses, okay? And so we're not going to do that. I'm going to get a 5-minute recap.
Yep.
Hey, 5 minutes. All right, here we go. Quick. Okay, so it starts off, since we don't have a mic, I'll read it. It says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. Okay, so really quickly, you teach me. Okay, he. Who's he?
Jesus.
Amazing! You guys are getting an A so far. The invisible God. What does that mean?
You can't see him.
He's spirit.
You can't see him. He's spirit. Right. You're absolutely right. Those who worship the Lord, John 4:24 said, God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Absolutely fantastic. He is the image of the invisible God. Now, what's the Greek word for image?
Icon.
Oh, you did great. Icon. He is the icon, the image of the invisible God, okay? And we went over what an icon was. It's a picture of what it is. So he's the picture of the invisible God, just like we have in our phones and stuff. John 14:7 says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do see him, and you have seen him. Now, the interesting thing about that word and that scripture verse that says, oh, you're amazing, Chris. Thank you so much. That he is the image of the invisible God. It does absolutely mean picture, but it means something very much deeper than that. It means manifestation. So he not only is the picture of the invisible God, and what you want to take a look at what God's like, you can look at Jesus' life. But it's so much richer than that. It's so much deeper than that. Just like, you know, I'll skip that one. But just like even in these lines of code, these little icons on a computer, right? I click on that, and I told you just in this little office right here, there are 30 million lines of code for this. It goes so much deeper, and it's the same with who Jesus is. He's not just the picture. He's the manifestation of who God is. And you remember Matthew 1:21-23, that says that you will call his name Jesus. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. You remember in Exodus 3:14, when Moses was being sent to his people to free them, God said, tell them I am has sent you. And then you remember Jesus said the same thing in John 8:58, when he was telling the Pharisees and the Sadducees, I tell you the truth, before Abraham was ever born, I am. And they knew what that meant, and they tried to stone him for it. Jesus is not just a picture, he's a manifestation. He's the image of the invisible God. John 10:30 says, I and the Father are one. One in nature, one in spirit. It goes on to say this, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. And we know that firstborn means time, right? Means time, like in Luke 2:7. It was their firstborn son, being born. I'll say that a few again, I got trouble for that. And then also, it also means firstborn in position, priority, and preeminence, like Psalm 89:27 with David. He wasn't the firstborn kid, he wasn't the biggest king, but he's saying he's the firstborn over all creation. He's the most prominent, the preeminent one. He takes priority over all creation. It says, for by him all things were created. That's everything. Showed you how the cults try to substitute words, all other things, and make him less than he is, like the Jehovah's Witnesses, unfortunately. And we said that all things were made by him, and that all things were made for him. John 1:10 says he was in the world was made by him, speaking of Jesus, yet the world didn't even recognize him. He made the heavens and the skies, the stars in the heaven. He determines everyone by name. That's our God, Psalm 147:4. He made our DNA. He made each one of us. We went for that, and he made it for him. So basically, what God is saying here, and what God is communicating to us, is that Jesus not only planned it, he produced it, and he purposes it. Right? All things were made by him. He's the author. He's the architect. He's the artist. And for him, he's the purpose. He's the beginning of it, and he's the end of it. You're made for a reason. And I love, we left off with this. I love Francis Chan saying this. Colossians 1:16 tells us that everything was created for God. But don't we live instead as though God is created for us to do our bidding? To bless us, to take care of our loved ones, take care of us. We're here to serve our Creator, not the other way around. Right? Okay. 5 minutes. There we go. Back, 5 minutes. All right. Colossians 1:17, a continuing understanding of who Jesus is. All right? And this is importante. Again, who is he? Jesus, absolutely, right. He is before some things.
All things.
Yes, absolutely. He is before all things. And you guys know this verse, I am certain, but for those who maybe do not, it says, in the beginning, the Word was the Word. Speaking of Jesus, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It says that he was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. And then it goes on to say in John 1:14, and the Word became flesh, that's Jesus Christ, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, filled with grace, or full of grace and truth. He is from the beginning. Okay? It says he's before all things. And in him, all things hold together. Now, I like this, because we went over this in a lot of details, that all things were created by him, right? The author of it. They were created for him, right? He's the purpose. He's the reason. We're responsible to God. They're created for him. But it says that in him, all things hold together. It's kind of like he's trying to say, if you think Jesus is less than he is, I want you to understand something. He's everything. Jesus doesn't want to be a part of your life. He is your life. He's the purpose for your life. He wants to direct your life. Okay? So here's what he's saying. It says that in him, and guys, who's him?
Jesus.
Amazing! Every answer is correct. In Jesus, does it say some things hold together?
All things.
That means
folks, if I can say from a standpoint, when you feel like you're going to lose it, and I don't know, maybe you've not, I had one of those days yesterday, it was too much pressure. You know what I'm saying? Trying to juggle too many things, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Okay, you know, okay, we've got the church responsibility, we've got the school responsibility, we've got our golden doodle business responsibilities, we've got our rental properties responsibilities, okay, the kids, the wife, the house, blah, blah. I got to teach, blah. He pulls all things together. Let me ask you a question. Does that mean he's got your finances in his hand?
All things.
All things. Wait a minute, but does that mean your emotions?
Yes.
I'm just freaking out, so I have to do this. Is that true? What about your mental state? I know a guy before he was saved and started walking with the Lord that walked around 2 years thinking his head was shut off because in a drug deal, they put a shotgun by his head as he was high, pulled the trigger, so he walked around for almost 2 years thinking his head was blown off.
Interesting.
Now he's a pastor of a big church. In him, all things hold together. He's got your finances. He's got your family. You can trust all these things. He's got your marriage. He's got your job. But I don't have a job. He's got it. If you will just simply put him first in all things, he will take care of everything for you. I love this. In him, all things hold together. Now, I don't know. Has anybody here heard of laminin? Would you raise your hand? Okay, about a quarter of you. Okay. What? Laminin? Laminin is it is a cell adhesion module. It's a cell adhesion molecule. Thank you, module. Sorry, too much computer in me. Cell adhesion molecule. And basically, it forms like the base of all your organs and everything. Basically, it holds everything together in your body. Okay? Now, I'm not basing my faith on laminin, but if you've ever seen what laminin looks like, that's holding all your body together. This is the thing, right? That holds everything in your body together. As we're just reading, in him, Jesus, all things hold together. Just could this be? Could be coincidence, okay? Or could it be Jesus trying to tell us something? Okay? Here is, this is not what a Christian did. This is what, this is scientific.
Too cool.
A molecular scientist came up with that.
Molecular biologist, okay? This is laminin. This is the cell adhesion module.
Where did you find that?
In fact, it even says in Wiki, so it's not even just my words. Laminin is vital to making sure the overall body structure holds together. Right? This is not me saying this. This is Wiki. You're not Christian. Okay. This is laminin. If you stretched it out, if you flat, this is what it looks like in the shape of a cross. Is that not amazing?
Mm-hmm.
He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Now, does that not amaze you? Now, here's an actual, I think I have an actual picture of it. Now, it's not flattened, I mean, it's moving around in a body, but that's what it looks like. So this is the cell adhesion module that holds everything together. In him, all things move together. So what does that mean practically? Go to, if you would, Matthew 27. Next verse. Go to Matthew 27 in your Bibles. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, should be defined. Yes, what verse indeed? Matthew 2:7. Okay. I'm getting there myself, so give me just a second. Since we don't have a mic, I'm not going to have people reading, so unfortunately you're going to have to hear from me a little bit more than you're used to. If that's possible. All right. So first off, in Matthew chapters 27, that's right, when he had Jesus up, remember? And they were, he's come to save the world, right? All things were created by him, for him. He came down, Emmanuel, God with us, right? For us, to reconcile us to God, all right? So that means, it says in verse 22, when Pilate was saying, what shall I do with this Jesus, Yeshua, HaMashiach, who is called the Christ, the Savior, the Messiah, Pilate asked. It's a good question for all of us. What then am I going to do with Jesus, isn't it? Because what you do with Jesus is going to make a difference, all the difference in your life, and a difference in eternity. So what shall I do with Jesus? They all answered, crucify him! Crucify him! And then it goes down a little bit further, and it says, the people answered, verse 25, let his blood be on us and our children. Mm-hmm. And then verses 26 says, and then he released Barabbas, a thief. By the way, Barabbas means son of a father. So here we have Jesus, son of the Father, and we have Barabbas, son of a father. Her people chose son of a father, son of man. Isn't that interesting? And it says, and then in verse 26, it says, they released Barabbas to them, but had Jesus flogged. Okay. You guys remember that from The Passion of the Christ? Mm-hmm. You ever watch that? Yeah. Terribly hard scene to watch. Terribly hard scene. It says, and then, verse 27, the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium, and they gathered the whole company of soldiers around them, and they stripped him. Now, how humiliating. Now, you can imagine just being in this bunch of people, and people physically taking you and stripping you front up here and just laughing at you, mocking you. That'd be terrible. Here's the Savior of the world. He's coming to save their souls. So that whoever would believe in him wouldn't perish but have everlasting life. And it says, the whole company of soldiers gathered around. Verse 28 says, they stripped him. And they put a scarlet robe on. They twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his hand and knelt in front of him. They mocked him. Hail, King of the Jews, they said. And they spit on him, their creator. Okay? And they took a staff and they struck him again and again on the head of the staff. They also, somewhere else, it was also saying that that they were striking him with their knuckles. And he goes down as they crucified him, and they led him away to be crucified. And the robbers were there, so they hurled insults at him. And you get the idea. So basically, what is that saying practically to us? Your Savior who loves you, your God who created you, okay, gives you life and breath. That means that he's, as it struck him with the rod, he's holding that rod, that staff that they're mocking with him with. The King of the universe is holding it together as they're striking him, as the pain receptors. He's holding the pain receptors in his head as his skull is being split open and the blood is dripping down. He's holding all that together, enduring all that pain, enduring all that shame, right? For the very same people that strike him. That is your God. That is the love of your God. Not only that, that means that he held the fingers together of the ones who are twisting that thorn of crowns together and slamming it into his head. He's holding their fingers together. He's giving breath into the lungs of the very people who were saying a couple of days ago, Hosanna in the highest. People are so fickle, aren't they? One day we're going to praise Jesus. Next day we're going to crucify him. Oh God, I don't want to be like that. I want to say, oh God, you're my Lord and Savior. I want to love you and serve you all the days of my life that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so he's giving air into the lungs, holding the lungs together. People were yelling, crucify him, kill the Savior of the world. In 27, 29, the people who mocked him, who are insulting him, he's holding together their tongues so they can form the words to mock him. That means he's holding together as they reviled him. He's holding together their lips as they're pronouncing disgust on him. The very saliva in Matthew chapter 27, 30. He's holding it together.
And as they flog him, as they with this bone and this cat of nine tails with bone shards or metal spikes gouging into his back, he's doing that. So, like Isaiah says, it, by his stripes you will be healed. He's thinking of you. He's thinking of me. Now, honestly, I can say maybe. I think all of us who are truly saved here would say we're really not that great of a person apart from Jesus Christ. Our thought life, our heart, we're selfish, we're self-centered, right? We've done some pretty terrible stuff. I was sitting here even this past week with somebody who's murdered people or died. Just terrible stuff. I can't say that he's any worse than me. I've done some terrible things too. But yet this God loved me and endured the shame for the joy set before him. That joy before him was you. It's me. That's how much he loves you. Look, it says in Isaiah 53, he, speaking of the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior, he was wounded for our transgressions, for our sin. He was bruised as they were beating him for our iniquities. We deserve those things. It says that the chastisement for our peace was upon him. That's what we deserve for our sin. Our God is a holy God, and yet he took this for us. And it says, by his stripes we are healed. Oh my God, thank you. The very least I can do is to live for him. You know what I'm saying? It reminds me of the verse in Hebrews. This is Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. And it says, and I love this verse, it says that the Son, Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. And he's sustaining all things by his powerful word. That is your God. He is your friend, absolutely. But he is so much more. Now, I'll lighten it up a little bit because I know that's kind of heavy. But, okay, I love this shirt, okay, in a geeky kind of Doctor Who, David Tennant kind of way. I thought this was hilarious, and I want to get this shirt, okay? I've never trusted Adam. They make up everything. Get it? Adam's. Anyway, it's a funny shirt. I thought it was funny. Okay, so for those of you who don't know, okay, Adam's make up, not like make up everything, like you can't trust them, they make up all matter. Okay, so anything of substance, okay, pillow, the couch, you get the idea, the building, the earth, the sky, everything is held together by atoms, okay? Now it says, in him all things hold together, not just your body, not just those type of things. All things hold together, and in Adam that make up all matter, okay? I know this is getting a little sciencey, all right? But listen, hear me out. This is going to be amazing, okay? He holds all things together. Listen now. Okay, so here we go. Protons in the middle of an atom, the nucleus of an atom that holds all matter together, is protons and neutrons, and in that atom are electrons. Now, protons are positively charged. You see a little plus there, right? And electrons negatively, and I think neutrons are neutral. Anyway, protons, right, in the nucleus of an atom are positively charged. Now, have you ever done this in school where you've taken a magnet? Okay, have you ever done it? Well, maybe you've done it this way. Have you ever taken a magnet, positively charged, right, and you get negatively charged metal, what happens? They go together, right? Mm-hmm. However, if you've ever taken a magnet, especially a big magnet, like you see in a steel industry or something, and you try to put those two positively charged magnets together?
Forget it.
Forget it. You can't do it, right? Mm-hmm. It pushes apart. But yet, in the nucleus of an atom, here are all these protons that should be ripping this thing apart, right? Exploding, but they don't. It's a mystery. And scientists have come up for, I looked on the internet, here's kind of the things that they don't know what it is. There's no explanation for why this thing isn't ripping apart.
They call it, this is kind of funny. Now, it's funny because, I mean, there's people way smarter than me. And they call it the Strong Force. It sounds like something out of, you know, Star Wars series. They call it atomic glue or nuclear glue. Some call it God glue. Interesting, huh? Something is holding all matter together. Now, this is how strong these protons are. If you, everybody knows how much a gram is, right? Teeny tiny little gram, right, like that? Hopefully not. But anyway, gram, which we learned in school, is about a teeny tiny little thing. So if you took a gram of protons at the North Pole and a gram of protons at the South Pole, right? Here we go. And you took, I don't know how much distance that is, 8,000, 10,000 miles? I don't really know. Let's just say 8,000, 10,000 miles, a lot of miles. Okay, thanks. Okay, you're going through dirt, and you're going through rock, and you're going through magma, and you're going through the Earth's core. And you've got a gram, right? Top, gram at the bottom. It would take, through all that rock and core and magma, 50,000 pounds of pressure on either side to keep that 1 gram protons on each side ripping apart and flying out. That's how powerful this is. In fact, I know if somebody's a scientist, they can talk to me afterwards, but if I understand what an atomic explosion is, right, or a nuclear explosion, it happens when the nucleus of an atom splits, right, and tremendous power is released when there's nothing holding it together. And that's where that, you know, nuclear explosions or atomic explosions come from. And it makes me think of 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 10. And it says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, you know, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth and the works that are therein shall burn up." Now, it's interesting to me, see this word right here? Okay. If Jesus were to let go, this world melt here. In Greek, it's luo, L-U-O, I think. Luo, at least that's how it sounds, luo. And you know what it means? It's also in the next verse. It says, "Since everything will be destroyed, dissolved, melted away in this way, what kind of people ought you be? You want to live godly lives." But the word here, luo, interestingly enough, in Greek, means to loosen. So when Jesus lets go of everything, it's more energy in holding everything in place. When Jesus lets that go, that word means to loosen. Elements shall loosen in fervent heat. I mean, that is amazing to me. And since everything can be destroyed, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives. Now, I just like when, Pastor Darren, I like it when you teach the encouraging verses. I don't like the hard ones. Well, I love you, too bad. They're all in there. Right? You have to take them all. He is holding all things together, all matter. And again, it's the same word when we're talking that melt, dissolve. It's the same word to let go, to loosen. It's the same word Jesus used. In Matthew 16, 9-19, he said, "I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose or loosen on earth will be loosed in heaven." Same exact word. Interesting, huh? So that means he's holding the whip together, as by his stripes you're healed. As they nailed him to the cross for your sin, he's holding that nail together. He's holding the hammer together as they're hammering the nail. And he's doing it for your sin, for my sin. That's our God. In light of that, what kind of people should we be?
Hey, Darren.
Yes, sir.
Is he holding the cross together too?
Oh, yeah. He's holding that cross together.
So that he could hang on the cross?
So that he could hang on the
cross. So that he could die for our sins so that we could be made right with him. Yes, to me.
He's holding all evil.
What?
He's in control of all evil, all powers, all the wickedness. complete control in my life, your life, everybody's life. How bad, for the sake of the elect, the days are shortened. He's in control of everything.
And it's like spirit,
just a little piece, you know, the atoms.
Yes.
The powers.
Yes.
All the, the thrones, powers, rulers, authorities.
Yes.
The Romans who were doing Judas.
Whoever you think
Satan's
is in charge. Yes, Republicans, Democrats, America. Kim Jong-young, I forget his name off the top of my head.
Let's not go
back. The crazy person with the new, you know, he's in charge of everything. Listen, here, you know what my deal is? I don't got, God, I want to be right with Jesus. My focus is on Jesus.
Amen.
If that's right, everything's right. Yep. Same in your life, Ken.
Amen.
You focus on Jesus, he will work out everything in your life. Seek ye first his kingdom, his righteousness, and all the rest will be added unto you, his promise for you.
Not to worry.
Not to worry. If he lets go and that new goes, I'm not going to be like, woohoo! Okay? But I'm going to say, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. I love that you're singing that song. And that's what it comes down to.
Pastor Darren.
Yes.
What did he say to the Father while he was being crucified?
Why did you forgive me?
Forgive them, Father.
They do not know what to do.
Yep.
So you guys do know. Now, so what kind of life are you going to live? All right, so now we've gotten through one verse. Woo-hoo!
Record.
Barely.
It was okay.
It's a good verse.
Really good.
Yes. Verse 17. Okay, sorry. Verse 17 is before all things, in him all things hold together. And he, Jesus, that's your standard answer. Jesus, Bible, church. He, Jesus, is the head of the body of the church. Now, that almost seems anticlimactic to me. He's the creator of all things and principalities and rulers and the ranks of demons, angels, whatever. He's the head of everything. All things are created by him and for him, and in him they hold together. And he's the head of the body, the church. Now, that's how I see it. However, that's not how he sees it. He sees the body of the church, you as his bride. You guys are like the culmination of things. Now, I don't feel so amazingly wonderful a lot of times myself, but that's how Jesus sees you. That's how he sees me. It's almost like the head means the source. The origin, like if you had a river or something that came out of the ground, or whatever, it's the source, the origin of those headwaters. And he's the head of the body, the church. And without that head being attached, things go a little crazy. Now, my grandpa was a farmer, okay? My grandpa was a farmer. And so this is going to kind of gross somebody out. Okay, some of the other ones are going to be like, hey, I might be engrossed out. So he would tell me stories of chickens. Okay, now he didn't go to Walmart or to Publix and to buy the lemon roasted pepper chicken like we do to feed our family. He would go and take the chicken, kill it. Lucky, you know, you get the idea, right? But what he would do is he would take the chicken, you know, a little axe there, kind of sad story, I know it's terrible. And he would, well, you eat the chicken too, you just don't think about this. And he would take that axe on that little stump there, and he would cut off the chicken head, the chicken's head, right? Now, the funny thing was, I shouldn't say funny, go for that one. The weird thing was, that chicken would run around.
With its head cut off.
It would run around all over the place, trying to find, trying to run for a while. Right? All this movement, all this action, all this stuff. But it's lost connection with the head. I tell you what, I see that in a lot of churches today. There's lots of movement, there's lots of actions, there's a lot of programs, there's a lot of people, a lot of things. But we've lost connection with the head, Jesus Christ. See, it's not the pastor who runs the church. It's not the home fellowship church that runs the church. It's not the elders, it's not the leaders, it's not a board, it's not a leadership committee. The head is Jesus. He is the one that runs the church, and he is the one that runs everything, but we'll get to that in a second. He needs to be the one. You can have tons of movement, like that chicken. but it's disconnected from the head. We need to be connected. Jesus needs to be ruler of your life, my life, your marriage, your job situation, your friends, your family. Jesus, 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 your game time, whatever it is. He is the head, the source of every body in the church. And almost like this, I got a little picture here, I thought it was cute. Ephesians 1:22-23, picture it this way. God has placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body. The fullness of him who fills everything in every way. I've been to pastors, I've talked to them, and I remember one of them saying to me, I want your loyalty to me more than anything else. And I said, well, I'm loyal to Jesus first. And you know what? He didn't like that. I'm thinking, why wouldn't you like that? Because if I'm loyal to Jesus first, then of course I would be loyal. But no, he wanted to be the preeminent one. I know not that. It's not going to work. You don't follow me. I know people who all they talk about is their church. Yeah, don't even get me started. You know what? I hear so many wonderful things about our church. I'm so thankful for that. I like the bumper stickers. I love my church. You know, good for you. I'm glad you love your church. You should. But I want you to love your Lord, Jesus. The church doesn't save you. I don't save you. Your denomination doesn't save you. I've had people come in here, and every few minutes they talk about more about their denomination or non-denomination than they do about Jesus. They don't even realize it. And after they've been here a while, now they start talking about Jesus. I love that. Because that's who we should be talking about. That's what we should be living for, right? Oh, my poor ADD. What did I do? Okay, here we go. All right. Okay, verse 18. He is the head of the body, the church, and he, Jesus, is the beginning. Okay? And I like this. It says that Jesus is the beginning. Not he was. He is. I don't have this verse, but he is the beginning. Revelation 22. I'm just going to turn there real quick because I wrote it down. I think it's the Alpha and Omega verse, but sometimes when I do these things, it's out of my head. And what do I have? 22:12-13, at the very end of the book of Revelation here. Yes. At the very end of the book, he says, behold, I am coming soon, and my reward is with me. This is what he's telling you and me. And I will give to everyone according to what he has done. And he goes on to say in verse 13, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. That is who Jesus is now, currently. He goes on to say, and the firstborn from among the dead. It's that same word we used earlier when we studied this up here. Prototokos. And that firstborn, again, means he's not the first. You guys remember, you're thinking to yourself, wait a minute, I remember Mark saying, Lazarus, come forth! So Lazarus was raised from the dead, right? What about Jairus' daughter? Right? What about the widow's son, widow Nain's son? The Old Testament, New Testament, folks who rose from the dead, but he is the firstborn from among the dead. All those people had to die again. If you see pictures of Lazarus, they always painted him. You think, he's rose again from the dead. They always painted him with somber expressions. You know why? He had to die again. And he had to come back. Yes.
It was like he's enjoying all the pleasure of not getting hurt, no sin, praising the Lord, eating at his table, and then I was like, just come back and say, what have you done?
Yeah, what have I done to deserve this?
Yes, that's exactly right. But he is the firstborn among the dead. He's the firstborn to raise, never to die again. Does that make sense? And it stops. I can't even read the rest of the verse because it cuts out. But it says in the next verse that in all things he might have preeminence. Now, my translation says superiority. And that's true. That's what the word means. It's only used one time in the New Testament. But I like the word preeminence. I don't know. There's something about it. That's just majestic to me. that in all things, Colossians 1:18, he might have preeminence. So he has it already, right? So here's the question, does he really have it in your life? That's a question you need to ask yourself. Does Jesus, if preeminence means first position, first place, he is that already, but does he have that in your life? Does he really have preeminence? Could it be that your mom or your dad or your job or your school or your friends or your husband or your wife or the dollar? What has preeminence in your life? What's that first place? It's reserved for Jesus. Yes, Rebecca.
I was going to say that we have to work to keep him in the preeminent spot, because we can put him there, and then if we're not careful, then our priorities get reshuffled, and before we know it, he's on the back burner again.
Isn't that true?
Yeah.
I think that is. Now, this is how we talk about Jesus being preeminent to Salisbury steak, deep dinners. Okay, work with me here. Now, I don't know if you guys remember this. Okay, these are actual TV dinners. Easy now. Who said that? Bless for me. Okay, I come from a wonderful family that loves to cook, and the Italian side, the ladies from the Italian side, and my grandma, my mom, my grandma, so we had these great pasta meals and salad and bread. But my grandma, and so my grandma learned it, she would learn the Southern farmer-like stuff. So the biscuits and gravy, you know, all the stuff that's like so good. Fried chicken, you know what I'm talking about? The deep fried stuff that's like 100,000 grams of fat. It's so good. You know what I'm saying, right? They're so delicious. But my mom was also busy. So sometimes she would try when I was a little kid. I remember her kind of amping me up. Tonight, we're going to have something special. Mommy's going to go out tonight. Mom and Dad are going out tonight. We're going to have something special for you. And I'm thinking, ooh, is it the cobbler with the casserole? And you know, it's the pasta. I'm thinking, you're going to get a special treat, and you're going to get to have a TV dinner. We can put it with a little tray, and she would try to, and oh, so you can watch TV, and I'm thinking, and so, in these little TV dinners, you couldn't microwave them. They were, you know, I don't know, tin. I don't know what they were. They're metal.
You couldn't microwave them.
Microwave wasn't invented.
Right.
They didn't have microwaves back.
Anyway.
You had to rub two sticks together to get
what these TV dinners would do is you would have a little compartment here for the meat, okay? And there's your meat portion. And then they have a nice little compartment here for your vegetables of some sort, right? Usually some cheap vegetables no one on the planet would eat. Peas would have been a treat. So and then they had your starch somewhere, you know, your mashed potatoes or something like that. And then they had wasn't usually in this corner. I remember it being in this corner.
Macaroni and cheese.
They would have like some sort of cobbler.
Or cobbler or something.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
It was so hard you'd break a tooth on.
I liked it. But everything was compartmentalized. And if Jesus is preeminent, then everything can't be compartmentalized in your life. We want to compartmentalize. Well, this is my business dealings. Jesus is first there. Oh, well, this is my relationship. I can't put Jesus first there. I can't put Jesus. This is what I watch. This is what I look on the computer. I can't put Jesus there. No, there's no compartmentalizing your life. Jesus is either Lord of all in your life, or he's not Lord at all. Does that make sense? So if he is not in that first, and some of you guys are telling me these stories, you're putting Jesus back first spot in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I love it. That means you're a continual refocus and making sure that he is the first, the preeminent one in our life. Give me 5 minutes.
Okay.
Just 5 minutes. 5 minutes, I know.
5 minutes, we're counting.
Okay, 5 minutes.
You don't want to make Jesus preeminent, I guess.
Feel the burden.
All right. I don't know if we have time to do this. Really quickly, though, I think the Lord would have me to do this, okay? I might screen this up.
You can review it next week. That's okay.
Okay, so anyway, verse 19, where God was pleased, it says, to have all the fullness dwell in him. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, making peace through the blood shed on the cross. So God was pleased to have all the fullness. It's not like just fullness was enough. I want to put all the fullness. I want to make sure everybody knows to dwell within him. It's almost reminiscent of what you'd see in the Old Testament when Jesus, when the God would come down in the tabernacle and said the Lord's glory filled the tabernacle. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle, and he couldn't even enter the tabernacle because the Lord's glory was there, Exodus 40, 34, and 35. Or in 1 Kings chapter 8, when they made the temple, Solomon made the temple dedicated, the glory of the Lord filled the place, it says. So much so that the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple. They couldn't even continue their duties ministering. 1 Kings chapter 8, 10 and 11. But those were temporary. The word dwell here, that the word that they used means on a permanent basis. So God put all the fullness to dwell in him permanently. And the neat thing about that is he also wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Amen. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, do you not know that you are God's temple? And that God's Spirit dwells in you? See, Jesus is the head of the church. My whole purpose was to go to get this gospel message. Here's the bottom line. It's going to go on to say that you're alienated from God. That you were enemies of God. You were once that. Now here's the deal. If you have not received him as Lord and Savior of your life, we're cut off from him, from that fellowship, that sweet fellowship in the garden. God used to walk with them and talk with them and have that relationship. But because of sin, that relationship was cut off. That fellowship was cut off. That communication was cut off completely. And so whether you like it or not, you're cut off. Now, you're here, and I'm glad that you're here. But if you haven't been born again, if you haven't surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, when that happens, something supernatural takes place when you say, Lord, you know, I'm a sinner, and I realize that I'm separated from you, and I want to be rightly restored with you. I want to make you preeminent in my life. I want to follow you. I want to live for you. Whatever that takes, will you help me to do that? When he does something so beautiful, he fills you. Just like he fills the temple, he fills you with his Holy Spirit. A supernatural thing happens. Now, some people might feel it, some people might don't, but what happens is a change occurs in your life. You start having new thinking. You start having new desires. You start going a different direction. If you've never had that, then chances are you're not saved. Because he creates all those things new in you. And that's what he wants to do for you today. He wants to fill you with himself. He wants to restore that communication, restore that relationship with you. It's a supernatural thing that's going to happen. And so, if you just close your eyes, and if you're already saved here, and that's already been done, you know what I'm talking about. So I just want you to pray for those right now who don't. Because there's a battle going on in their heart. They're saying, I don't need to do this. I don't need that. I'm good. I'm a good person. Dad is a good person. He's a Christian. Mom's a Christian. Grandma's a Christian. Whatever is a Christian. No. It's you and God only.
You're separated from him. He wants to restore that relationship. But it comes at the cost of you bending your knee. You saying, Lord, I want to live for you. I believe you died. You rose again to new life, Lord. I believe your blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse me from all sin. I believe that you are, all things were created by you and through you, and you hold everything together. I want to be a part of all that. I want to be part of the mission that you have for me. I don't want to go my own way. Lord, I give you as best as I know how. I just ask you to forgive my sins. Right now, will you forgive me? Will you cleanse me from all my sin? Lord, I want to turn to you and turn away from my sin. And I want to walk in you. Lord, will you fill me with your Holy Spirit and empower me to live the life that you've called me to live? Because that's the only way I can do it. And I'm asking you to do that right now in Jesus' name. And if you're crying out to the Lord right now, you're doing that in your heart. You're saying, I want you to be first. I want you to take over my life. I want to live for you. Would you come tell me? Would you come tell someone else in here that you've made that decision? And if you're here today, and maybe there's an area of your life where maybe you're saved, but he's not first, will you ask the Lord right now to make it right? Would you choose by faith to put him first in that area? Don't think of the consequences. Don't think of what you're going to lose or what God wants you to gain. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone right now who's praying that prayer, that you would help them put you first in all things, and you would show them the fruit of that, the blessings of that, even through the hardest of times, and you would be right there with them, dwelling permanently, never leaving them, never forsaking them. Lord, we thank you for your blood. We thank you that you purpose all things in you, all things hold together. We pray for your blessing on this body, this congregation. We ask you to bless the Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night Bible studies, Lord God, that much fruit will be born for you. And we ask this in the mighty, awesome, powerful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day in Jesus' name.
Do you want me to send you that picture? I don't use my cell phone.